Good evening, Wahoos, and welcome, ACC sports fans. This is Frank Maloney with my co-host, Jim Hobgood, and we're ready for a big show tonight. The Virginia basketball team pulled away from the Florida State Seminoles at JPJ on Saturday for a big 20-point victory. The Cavaliers were orange hot in the first half as Joe Harris, Akil Mitchell, Justin Anderson, and even Paul Jesperson scored at will. Football news. Mike London introduced three new coaches to his staff on Media Day last Friday. Congratulations to Tom O'Brien, Larry Lewis, and John Tenuta. Meanwhile, National Signing Day, February the 6th, nears, and I'm hearing mostly positive news about London's commits. Anyhow, we're glad that you've joined us tonight.
You're a little hard on my boy Paul Jesperson. What is that, even Paul Jesperson? You know,
the guy stuck
a big three early, had a good game.
He's scared of his own shadow.
Well, he could easily be a redshirt freshman that was forced into action last year, took off the red shirt, so he's a sophomore really by virtue of injuries from last year, but that's another subject. Right now, let me talk about tonight's show. We have a great show planned. Former teammate of mine and a good friend for a long time.
You have friends?
Two.
Whoa, red alert.
Two.
Me and Barry?
That's it. It's an exhaustive list. But at any rate, one of those two friends is Barry Parkhill, and he's going to be joining us momentarily. A lot of our listeners are going to know who Barry Parkhill is. I'll introduce him in a few minutes. And also, second half hour, we have the head tennis coach of the number one ranked UVA men's tennis team. What an incredible job he has done over the past decade or so, building UVA tennis into one of the elite programs in the country. At any rate, right now, back in studio is Chris Sill, our research analyst, and he's going to tell you how to follow the show.
Thank you, Hobo. All right, guys, who's talking?
He's streaming live, sportsradio910.com and thesaber.com, or you can go ahead and call in at 345-0910. Go ahead and post comments on Facebook, too. Just search Who's Talking and become a fan. All previous shows are archived on thesaber.com.
All right, Frank and Chris, as Frank indicated in his opening comments, Virginia played well on Saturday.
Huge first half.
Even Paul Woody said, if nothing else happens good this year, they'll have the first half of the Florida State game. It's kind of like Casablanca. We'll always have Paris. You ever watch Casablanca?
Yes.
Or is that before your time?
No. I've seen it a couple times.
Bogey? You know.
I'm a huge movie fan.
Oh, good, good. Glad to know that. But anyway, the Cavs need to figure out a way to play on the road because they got a big game Thursday night down in Blacksburg. But they certainly, in the two games they've played at home, North Carolina and Florida State, played well in both of those games. So if we can get that same focus and intensity on the road, hopefully we can get it done down in Blacksburg on Thursday. And then, of course, next Saturday, Boston College at home. And then a week from tomorrow night, another big home game against one of the premier teams in the ACC, North Carolina State. So got a Thursday, Saturday, Tuesday schedule coming up in the next 8 days. So as Frank indicated, nice play. Justin Anderson had a good game on Saturday, not only defensively but offensively. Made a couple of threes and showed some of the star status that everybody been hyping him ever since he signed on the dotted line last year.
And he just needs minutes.
He showed some glimmers of that star status on Saturday.
Memo to coach, put him in. A guy can play remarkable defense. He can guard almost anybody in the floor other than a center. His defensive rebounding really saved us.
He had a couple of sensational blocks.
Oh, my goodness.
In that game.
Oh, my goodness. He gives Virginia athleticism at both ends of the court. And once Jontel gets rounds into form, this guy is meant to fast break. He is meant to be on the fast break. And look out rim. He's going to bend that rim.
Yeah, he's got some Adam Hall potential if you get him out in transition in the open floor. He could bring the house down.
And
as you said, Jontel starting, I mean, you know, you have to give him a little break because I think he was out of shape. He certainly wasn't in playing shape. And I think as the rust moves away from Jontel and he starts to play better, this team's going to play better.
Well, you know, even with the rust being readily apparent, he had 7 assists the other day. And the other thing is, Snare, the star of the team for Florida State, isn't it Michael Snare?
Yep. Yeah.
Was 3 of 8, 1 of 5 from 3-point land, and he had 4 turnovers himself and only 1 assist. A lot of times, John Tell was pestering him out there on the perimeter, and you got to give John Tell some credit because as Snare goes, I think Florida State goes.
Well, he's a lot of their offense. You know, John Tell was involved in guarding him, as were Joe Harris and Paul Jesperson. So the team really did a nice job of containing Snare and the rest of the Seminoles. You know, Florida State is a team kind of similar to Virginia. They really play great half-court defense, but they're a little challenged on the offensive end once in a while.
You know what's interesting? I did a little research this weekend. I saw the name Kyle Turpin on the roster for Florida State. It turns out Kyle Turpin is Melvin Turpin's son.
Wow.
And you may remember Melvin Turpin was a 7-foot center for the University of Kentucky, and he played with another 7-footer who was injury-plagued throughout his whole pro career.
Yeah,
Sam Bowie.
How about that?
And Mel Turpin had a very sad end-of-life story not too many years ago, but was a lovable big man.
All right, make it quick on Turpin. We got Mr. Parkhill holding here.
Okay, we're not holding
up. For your friend
up.
Turpin here.
I'm not holding up
Turpin
Barry.
Time.
I'm not holding Barry up.
Well, let me introduce Barry. As I've said, he's a friend of Hobbo, so not much else needs to be said. But, you know, now I have said, and I really believe this, that the three people that have had the most impact on Virginia athletics in the last 40 years are George Welsh, Terry Holland, and Barry Parkhill. And Barry, not only as a player, but all his work from a development standpoint involved with the fundraising for Scott Stadium and JPJ and Davenport Field, and you go on down the line.
McHugh Center.
So he's done it all, and we'll talk to him about that in a moment. Barry, are you with us? Barry?
Jim.
Yeah, okay.
Can you hear me?
I can.
We got you.
I was saying nice things about you there.
Happy New Year, you guys.
Well, at any rate, Barry, we appreciate your joining us tonight. Let me start. Were you at the Florida State game on Saturday?
I sure was, Jim, and it was a great win. But before we go on, I wish you were my boss.
Well, Jim is always hoping to bring you on every week because he gets very comfortable talking with you and Dan Bonner, and for two different reasons. But
we say nice things about each other, so that's the main thing. But back to Florida State, what was your assessment of the game? Obviously, a great win for the team.
Any time when you're playing in whatever conference, a league win's a great win. I think you would probably agree with Coach Bennett and our team that when we shoot the ball well, we're going to win a lot of games, and our defense was as good as it's ever been against Florida State. We rebounded the ball well, but we shot the ball well, and we're a tough team to beat when we do all those things.
Yeah, the one thing I thought, of course, Darian Atkins hurt. That meant Nolte was in the lineup, and the thing I was thinking is, you know, you put Jesperson, Nolte, and Joe Harris on the floor, you got 3 perimeter shooters. Now, Nolte didn't make that many three-pointers. I don't think he made any three-pointers, but certainly he's a legitimate perimeter shooter, and that helps spread the floor for guys like John Tell and other people.
It definitely does, Jim. But, you know, I think, and I've observed these guys quite a bit, not just in practice but in games, and I think a part of it's Coach Bennett and his staff. But Jesperson and Joe Harris and really everybody that plays, they do a really good job guarding the basketball. And Jesperson is long. He's smart. You know, he's not the most athletic guy, but on defense, if you watch him, he really does a good job. And Nolte's a tough kid. And Joe Harris, I think he's one of the best players in the country. But those kids all play really good on-the-ball defense. And, of course, the whole team helps. And I agree with what you say. When those guys are on the floor together, you got 3 pretty dangerous shooters out there.
Let me ask you one. I'll let Frank jump in here in a minute. But I know you've seen the team practice. A lot of people are interested in Anthony Gill. Have you've seen him in practice just to give us a heads up on what we can expect from him next year?
I have several times, and I just think he's a really good player. He does everything well. He guards. He's a good shooter. He can play inside. I think I don't want to put any added pressure on Anthony, but he's just going to be a very nice player in our system, and I think people are going to really like what they see.
Barry, this is Frank. Thank you for joining us tonight. I listened to Tony Bennett today on the ACC teleconference, and he talked about sustained commitment on each possession. And although he was answering a question about Virginia's defense, which held Florida State in such a frustrated mode, Florida State had 15 points at halftime, which is, for a college basketball game, that seems impossible. But talk to us a little bit about when you watch Tony Bennett's team over these few years develop and where he's taking the Virginia program, what does that mean to you?
I think at the end of the day, Frank, and Happy New Year to you as well, you can build a team around defense and rebounding, and that's a constant, and it's something your kids have to buy into, and they've bought into what Tony's teaching them. I think when you're playing great defense every night, you're going to be in games. In our situation, as I said before, when you shoot the ball pretty well, you're going to win a lot of games. And I've had a few comments over the last, I don't know, couple months and a couple years about, yeah, the defense is good, but I'll tell you what, I'd much rather see our guys win a 56-36 game than lose a 86-76 game. And if you look across the country now with the scores in the last couple weeks, a lot of teams are just gutting it out and playing defense, and there's not a lot of high-scoring games. But I just love the way Tony coaches and the way his guys teach our guys. And I think back to Terry Holland when Terry was coach. And teams played really good defense night in, night out, and that's going to get it done in the long haul.
Why do you think that is? I've got my theories as to why the games are more of a half-court, slower tempo. But as a former coach, you know, people have to remember, you coached for a number of years. Why do you think the scores are lower?
I think part of it, Jim, is just a nickel opinion, is there's a whole lot more pressure than ever before in college athletics in general, but in basketball for sure. I think, you know, the salaries create pressure to fill gyms, and I think that filters down into, okay, we've got to start here by playing great defense. I think if every coach had a lifetime contract, you know, they'd probably be a little more apt to roll it out and go up and down and, you know, let it fly. But I think there is a lot of pressure to do well, and it happens in other sports. If you play really good defense, you're gonna be successful in the long run. If you add some good offense to it, you're going to win a lot of games.
You know, the one thing about, you know, Virginia, there's been a little difference, at least in the first four conference games, playing at home versus on the road. You know, why do you think that is? Just the fact that they're young, or can they get that same intensity on Thursday night down in Blacksburg?
Jim, you hit a big-time point, and you know it as well as I do. You know, going on the road in any league is always going to be a tough game, and I think sometimes kids have to learn how to win. It's a different atmosphere. You're shooting at different baskets. Your routine is a little bit different. But at the end of the day, you know, good teams win at home. Great teams win at home and on the road. And I think it comes with some experience. A lot of times it comes with, you know, things are going tough on the road. You sort of look to your better players to make plays and sort of get things done. But I think it's something that kids have to figure it out, and they have to learn how to win on the road.
Talk a little bit about Joe Harris. I mean, he is just such a terrific kid, and what a great player. Just he does it all.
He is one of my all-time favorites. I think he's a whole lot tougher than meets the eye. He's more athletic than people think. I think there are times, Jim and Frank, where Joe is maybe a little bit too unselfish, but I think you'll see more of him this year kind of stepping up when we need some points. I think he could score even more than he does, but he's just such an all-around player, and I just think he's one of the best players in the country.
You know, Barry, I was thinking about trying to think of past players that we could compare him to.
Other than Jim Hobgood?
No comparison. I was thinking of almost a hybrid of Chris Williams and Andrew Kennedy. Remember those guys?
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you what, to me, I'd say Jeff Lamp would be
a closer
above everybody else, and then you could compare to other players, but pretty high comparison there. And not to, again, to put pressure on Joe, but The one thing that Joe, I think, needs to improve on, that Jeff was one of the best ever, is foul shooting. And Joe's got a great stroke, but he's got to get better at the foul line. But I'd like to compare him to Jeff a little bit because they're about the same size. They're both athletic and really tough kids.
Mm-hmm. You know, Joe Harris ought to be an 85-90% free throw shooter with his stroke. I think sometimes it's just a matter of focus and concentration, and sometimes it may just be, you know, he's playing so many minutes, sometimes you lose a little bit of that focus at the free throw line. Maybe he assumes it's going in and doesn't concentrate.
Jim, I agree. I think I've always thought 80% or better is pretty good at the line. I think sometimes there becomes a mental block with kids. But again, I think he will work his way through that. And that's the one area that I think everybody would like to see him get a little bit better. But, I mean, he does everything that Tony could ask for and more.
Barry, we got to go to the break. Can you hang with us when we bring on the other side of the break? May I ask you about any development activity, including the football practice facility, if you can hang with us.
Absolutely will, guys.
All right, stay tuned. More with Barry Parkhill after these messages.